Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together on the phone and talk about the weekly weather, what's going on in the sky, and how that's reflected around us on the Earth. And so, this is Mark Waltz speaking to you from New York City, and I'm joined by
Heather Rowan Robbins from Ronan, Montana. This week, I'll be in New York in a week, but right now I'm here.
Yeah, we're and very excited. You're coming to New York.
Mm-hmm. And it's exciting that we're in interesting trilling and going on in the background. And it's been an interesting week with this lineup in Pisces. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it feels very Pisces.
What are you experiencing with that lineup in Pisces? I notice people are feeling very vulnerable.
Yeah, definitely that. And also there's a little trouble, like, focusing and staying on point, you know. I think there's a feeling of being overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate because we don't have the luxury of being overwhelmed. You know, if you really are overwhelmed, you just let go and can't do anything otherwise. But when you're not truly overwhelmed, but you're just feeling overwhelmed, then it doesn't work the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting lost for no reason. And so we need to, you know, I don't mean to admonish people, but we need to get a grip.
Right.
Even when you feel like there is no grip, you need to make a reach. Because somewhere out there, there's something to grip onto.
And this is changing next Tuesday when Mercury and Venus go into Aries.
Right, they're traveling together.
Right. Between now and then, they both square Mars. And that, you know, if when people are feeling vulnerable, they can get very difficult.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little worried about how we respond to our vulnerability with one another. We can feel overwhelmed. It's an important time to get a lot of extra sleep if we possibly can, to rest well, to take care of our jade screen, our immune system defenses. And, you know, the world is... We see also the power of people who are victims. We see the power of those kids who are facing their fears by going back into their school building after the assault, who are leading and speaking up and demanding that the gun problems be dealt with in a way that's never really been able to happen before. So we also see the power of that witnessing.
Yeah, and that's why I say that we don't have the luxury of feeling overwhelmed. We need to, you know, however it feels, because the news and the politics are overwhelming, and we can easily feel overwhelmed. But we need to be taking action. And when you're just feeling overwhelmed, it's very hard to take an action.
Right.
But we can't luxuriate in not taking action right now.
And one of the actions that we can take is just to plan and dream and connect and do the Piscean part. If we're not ready to confront, we can organize, we can connect, we can, you know, begin to imagine that it could be different. And I think that may be one of the things the kids are coming up with. I asked about my grandchildren who are, you know, 13 and 9, and how did they take this? And they said that, you know, they've never known a life. They were born after Columbine. They've never known a life when there weren't school shootings. So it didn't throw them off as much as it did the adults. And that when they, you know, the fact that they see it, they can imagine that it could be different. They haven't given up the way a lot of adults have about change, which was an important part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah, and we need to listen and learn from a generation that is having such a different experience, because, you know, those are very formative years when you're in grade school, high school, and it's very, very important. But our experience when we were going through did not include these school shootings. It was, you know, not within the realm of possibility.
No. No,
so
it wasn't.
So no one thought about it. But now you have drills, what to do if and when.
Absolutely. And not only have we had this lineup in Pisces, but first the Sun conjunct. You know, we have Chiron, Venus, Mercury, Neptune, the Sun, and Juno all in Pisces right now.
Right.
And Mercury and Venus have already gone over Neptune, and the Sun is about to over the weekend. Again, a good time for dreaming, but also a good, you know, a time when we just need to notice our vulnerability and our spaciness and work through that as best we can. You know, it's great for meditating. It's great for dreaming.
Yeah.
And meditating and dreaming, I'm meditating and dreaming on the idea that we can get enough people for our workshop in New York City, because I'm so excited about doing it with you guys. I'll be into New York, and not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that, we'll be teaching in New York City. And
March 10 and March 11.
Yeah.
March 10
and
March 11.
If you want to join us, please let us know ASAP, because we're trying to decide which room we're going to use. And if it's a small group, we'll use a small room. And if it's a big one, we'll need a big room. So we need to know today if you would like to come. And you can go to Facebook and go to Access Astrology on Facebook, which there's a link there that takes you to the event. Or you can go straight to EventZilla and find the answer there.
Yeah, and do join us. It's a lot of fun because it's a workshop. It means you get to work on charts and work on your own chart. And whenever you work on stuff, you learn something. You know, it's one thing to read in books in general about stuff, but when you actually work it through in a chart, it comes to life.
And the difference between reading a book on swimming and actually swimming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's what we designed the workshop to do. And then it's more fun for us, too, rather than lecturing, you know.
We do some lecture, and then we workshop it.
Right. We lecture for like half hour and then do an hour and a half of work with charts. And not just with charts, but you know, finding what sometimes we just do exercises based on the planets.
And with this time, we're going to be looking for resources in the chart, because there's so many books out there in astrology looking at your wounding. What's the problem in you? But I find that, and we all find that with clients, if we can direct them towards what are their resources, what do they have to work with, what brings them resilience, what brings them joy, what gives them energy, then they can go ahead and do the work more comfortably. I'm also seeing that as people age, we move away from, you know, the wounding that we came in and we've worked all our lives, and now where are we going? How does Jupiter and the North Node move us into that place? And I've been studying zodiacal releasing somewhat, and that's a very interesting way of looking at timing in our lives, for saying what is being emphasized now.
Yeah, say a little more about that, Heather.
Now, zodiacal releasing is a process that comes from Hellenistic astrology, and it takes a look at the various, you know, it's similar to the dasha system in Vedic astrology,
yeah.
In that there are, you start the time period from your part of spirit and your part of fortune. The part of fortune has to do with the physical cycles in your life, and the part of spirit has to do with your sense of purpose. And for instance, my part of spirit, it was in Aquarius for the first 30 years of my life, with sub periods in there. And during that time, Aquarius is ruled by Saturn. Saturn is afflicted in my chart. Boy, did my life change when I left that time period. But that what I learned during that time period was very Saturnine issues. I didn't really play until I got out of that Saturn cycle. And you look through each of the times in your life, and it doesn't say you can look at it, here's my limits. But you can say, well, what can I get out of it? What do I need to embrace to make the most of this time? And I've just really noticed that it helps us, that along with the progressed sun and moon, speak in clear ways about what feeds us during that time and how do we direct our energy in a good way. So we'll be taking a look mm-hmm. at that. There's some very good. Interesting free software programs out there on zodiacal releasing if anybody wants to check it out. Now, we've got a lot of people on the line, but no one's raised their hand to ask a question. We do have an email from somebody. If they want to hit one, then we can call on them. And while I look up the question, what else would you like them to know about this time and how to work with the astrology of this last week before the planets begin to enter Aries in springs.
That's right. Yeah, once they start entering, which is next week, with Mercury and Venus going into Aries,
mm-hmm.
we do move rather rapidly into spring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then when the sun enters Aries, of course, then we're definitely in spring.
Yes, and it is...
Yeah, so I always like the Pisces period at the end of winter because it's kind of the last chance to relax.
mm-hmm.
You know, we're finishing up the more internal work, the more quiet and reflective work. And then once we get to Aries and the cardinal energy of Aries, it's time to move forward and it's time to take action. So what goes on during this reflective period is what you'll carry into action, and it's actually more important than it seems because it's going to produce the actions, just like the buds on the trees and flower stems. It's this budding process that is going to produce the new leaves and flowers.
And that is so beautiful. Now, we have a question tonight from Natalie, whose birth date is March 6, 1971, 2 p.m. in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And she reports that she feels like she is coming into her own and that she is practicing her craft quite well and feels really good about her intuition. What in her chart says that she's coming alive at this time? And, you know, it's nice. Rarely do we get a question saying, hey, things are going well. What's up? But I think that that's, again, an example is if we don't see what brings us joy and energy and enthusiasm, it's hard to create that. So I'm thrilled with the question. And she has her Mars at 26 degrees of Sagittarius. So Uranus is at the moment 26 degrees or 25 degrees of Aries. It's about to be, go into 26 degrees of Aries. Her progressed Mercury is around 27 degrees of Aries up in that career house. So her progressed Mercury is trining in Mars. Uranus is coming up to her progressed Mercury and trining in Mars. She is natally a Pisces, moon in Cancer, and her progressed moon is about to enter Aries, and it's hitting the top of her chart. And often when the progressed moon is at the top of the chart, you see that your work is supported, you're visible, you get the fruits of your labor. And her progressed moon is just conjunct Venus, her progressed Venus. So there's kind of support and love and encouragement for her work, which looks fabulous. Pluto has was opposed her moon. It'll come back and touch it again, but it's, you know, it's past that first nasty opposition to her Cancer moon. So I can see there's often people feel a huge lightness right after a Pluto transit.
Yeah,
do you see anything else that's important there?
I think actually that lightness is with Pluto lifting off of the opposition moon is really
mm-hmm.
important, because there's such a feeling of powerlessness often with the Pluto
mm-hmm.
opposite moon. And then when it leaves, it's like the mafia just left the room, you know. It's a lot easier to breathe.
Wonderful. Yeah, exactly. You know, it is that heaviness, or someone has changed the lighting on the stage setting, I think of it often.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that is a big factor. But the other thing is that she's feeling empowered to take action, and that's the trine from Transiting
mm-hmm.
Uranus. And, you know, also the progressed Mercury trining her Mars. So it's a good time. It's actually a good time to write and do any kind of communicating.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
You know, she'll feel like this is what she's meant to do.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah. I also saw the email from Anne that she's in midair in a flight. So she's with us in spirit, but not on the phone tonight. We'll hear from her next week. And we have another person on who has raised their hand, so we'll call on them. Hello, error code 510. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, Heather. And Mark, thank you. My birthday is 5-5-81.
5-5-1981. Time?
2:52 a.m.
And where?
And it was in Elkhorn, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Good.
And
I had talked to you, I don't know, maybe early December or somewhere in there, and I had learned from you that my astrocraft cartography said that it just wasn't going to work where I was living in California, and things just weren't going to work financially, and so I basically put a plan together, and I'm out of there. I'm in Wisconsin, in Madison. And I guess if you had any, I was just wondering kind of if I had could have some good things to look forward to. I'm putting a lot of effort in trying to make things happen financially. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of moved away from the things that I loved, but I couldn't just spin my wheels in a place that wasn't going to support me financially. So,
right. Okay. Heather, are you there?
Hi. That was strange.
Hi.
I got kicked off, and I'm now back on again. Hello, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Thank you. The computer did something very strange and threw me off there and brought me back. So we were looking at your chart, and what was your question? I missed it if you asked it while I was gone.
Oh, yeah. So I had talked to you some months ago, and mm-hmm. I had found out from you that my astrocartography said I was not going to financially do well in California where I lived, and so I made a put a plan into action and moved, and I just landed in Madison, Wisconsin to kind of regroup and tie up loose ends. But I was hoping for some good news and just maybe anything good that's coming mm-hmm. in the future. Just
mm-hmm.
love to look forward to something.
Where to look for a job and money, right?
I mean, I have, you know, plans in place, and I think, you know, I think it will take time, but I'm just hoping mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. some things to change, I guess. And I moved away from my passions, so I'm willing to do whatever.
And what was your passion that you moved away from?
The circus arts, acro yoga, mm-hmm. and things like that. It's just kind of a mecca.
And you moved away
area.
From it because it was only in California?
Because my astrocartography said that finances weren't going to work there, that things just wouldn't, mm-hmm. they'd be super slow. Or, I mean, I went on 8 interviews in 1 month and I yielded a one-off, but that was it. It was just so bizarre mm-hmm. that the effort did not yield results. And so I talked to you all and it confirmed it. And I was like, okay, I'm out of here. So I just landed in Wisconsin and mm-hmm. and I'm hoping for some good news.
Yeah, it moves your Sun and Mars back into your house of finances. When you're in California, they're right at the bottom of the chart. So you may feel very at home there, but you may not, but also always a little uncomfortable, but not very empowered to make things happen and get stuff done and make money. You know, I don't think you were in the wrong field. You know, helping people become embodied with that lineup of with the ruler of the house of finances. You have Aries on the cusp of your second house, and the ruler of that is in the second house, in Taurus. And Uranus will be coming up to it over the next couple of years, which sounds good for your finances. Like it's bringing changes that will work for you. And you know, it's you have to find your own idiosyncratic way to making money and to do your passion. Don't back away from what you love, but do it in a way that makes it accessible to the people around you. I think that helping people become embodied and being able to talk about what's going on in their body and becoming more comfortable with, you know, their physical home is one of your gifts.
Could I ask Mark, what do you see on my chart?
You're asking.
Oh,
what?
By the way, also your progressed moon is in Libra, and it's just about to head into the house of other people's money, which sometimes can help you get a job. Like other people's money comes supports you.
Oh, great.
And we're talking about the yod to your Venus, and Venus is very much at home in its own sign, and it's dealt with two, a yod is formed by, for the audience, but two quincunxes pointing to the same planet. So you have two planets that are sextile, and for you it's Neptune and Pluto, which were sextile for decades, so or more, 2 decades, so they ran together for a long time. But it's the fact that they both then form a quincunx to Venus and to Mercury that points out that, again, sharing the physical experience, sharing what you love, sharing what you know, that's the pointer that the Taurus energy is, you know, the embodying it is your gift. Wouldn't you say, Mark?
Yeah, and actually, because they're at that point of the yod, it's very hard to figure out exactly. Like, you can't make things happen, but you have to mm-hmm. be available when things fall together. So it's really to get that Venus and Mercury to work, you can do it, but not by exactly just your own will and your own willfulness. Things mm-hmm. will line up, and suddenly you'll have an opportunity, and you have to seize it, go with it as far as you can, and then the wheel falls off, you abandon it, you know. So
is it more like being prepared for opportunity, like being mentally, spiritually,
yes,
and physically prepared so when it comes, I can actually take it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then you're well prepared because you can adapt, you know. Not that it's easy to adapt, but you find ways to adapt that a lot of other people wouldn't. A lot of people need a more straightforward approach. You're able to sort of improvise and pull things together, and people wonder, well, how did you figure that out? And you have no answer. I didn't figure it out. I was there. Somebody had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So look for those opportunities. And that's a way to find your way into anything in Madison, too, is just see what needs to be done and say, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
And I would also say that, you know, think about how you got to your passion. How did you get to the acro yoga, and how did you get, what did it make you feel? And how can you begin to teach that to others? Because you're not the only one who needs it.
Mm-hmm.
I really think there's something about your own experience of embodiment that becomes your profession.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you so much.
You learn from your experience. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, have the experiences because they're teaching you. You know, so in other words, don't wait until you have the training. Rather, let the ongoing process of doing things be the training.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any specific question that we can try to get this more concrete for you?
I guess it just feels overwhelming to make such big changes, and I know the path, but it seems like it's just time. It's just going to take time.
And right now, the Pisces overwhelm is happening in your first house because you have 29 degrees Aquarius rising. So all four planets and two asteroids are all hovering in your first house in Pisces, feeling overwhelmed.
Okay.
Even next week when Venus and Mars go into Aries, you get some of your gumption back, but you definitely feel it picking up after the spring equinox. Mercury turns retrograde, so I would say the end of March and the beginning of April, spend some time reconnecting. Do you know people from that area already? Is that where you're from?
I do know people from that area.
So the next month and a half, 2 months, it feels like you go out and reconnect and reconnect and reconnect and let them and tell them what your dream is. I want to be doing this. This is where I want to be. I want something. I'm looking for work that goes in the direction of that, and that's my vision. Like, get your vision clear and then be flexible about what you do. Like Mark says, like, do what needs to be done between here and there. But keep that vision cooking because your chart is ramping up for success. It's just going to take a while.
Okay? All right. I appreciate it. I think that just helped a lot to know about the Pisces and all that because that's what I'm feeling. I'm just like, going a little crazy here.
Yep, I bet you are.
Well, process the feelings now. And with it in your first house, other people will notice it. So, you know, don't try to hide, you know, the sense of a little overwhelmed and not quite sure. You can celebrate that. Hey, you know.
This is how I'm feeling. Be honest, be clear about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, notice that other people are feeling overwhelmed too. Just kind of keep expectations low, one foot in front of the other this week. Then things begin to pick up.
Okay.
And
all right. Thank you,
guys. That note, we have to say goodbye to everybody until next week.
Yeah.
And we hope that it all goes well. We look forward to seeing a few of you next month, in the weekend after this one,
really
in New York
month.
City.
We're moving into March.
Right.
Yeah,
I know. That's crazy. And we'll talk to you soon. Don't feel overwhelmed. Give each other a hug. Be nice to one another. This is Heather Owen Robin signing off. And Mark?
Mark Waltz, New York City. And
Ann Ortley sends her love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye now.
Goodbye.